taking the helm of one of the most successful and disruptive aviation manufacturers. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Back in August, Frank Robinson officially retired from Robinson Helicopters, the company he founded in 1973 and had led ever since. His son, Kurt, who's been with the company since 1987, took the reins. While in California recently to demo the new R-66 turbine helicopter, ANN CEO and editor-in-chief Jim Campbell sat down for a discussion with Kurt and talked about the new machine, the company, and its place going forward. We'll hear that interview in two parts, today and tomorrow.
The first thing I've got to say is congrats on the R-66. We've just spent about an hour flying air-to-air in one and watching some real interesting maneuvering parameters, and then flying the aircraft itself from somebody who came up through the R-22 and earned my CFIH and the 22, Larry DeRocher, and flying the 44 over the years and being really uncurrent right now. The transition to the 66 is about as easy as it gets, and that's a lot to say for an aviation journalist. Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you. We're real proud of the R-66. One of the markets that we obviously foresaw was the person who perhaps learned in a 22 or a 44 and now needs to carry more weight or needs more altitude or has other reasons why he wants to move up to the R-66. And so we wanted to try and make that transition as simple as we could and work with the things that the pilot already knew.
Well, let's address the initial issues first. The aircraft is now certificated and in production, and as I understand it, you're going to follow a path that you followed previously with keeping initial ships local and in the hands of folks that you've worked with closely before and get as much data early on as possible before these things start getting out and about.
Yeah, initially the first ships are going to California, and then we'll have Arizona kind of spreading out over the western half of the United States. After that, we are pushing to deliver some to some of our overseas dealer only because they want to get their certification process going and get it done as quickly as they can. But the initial deliveries will be here locally, and we'll be flying, having them fly those aircraft as much as they can, and then we'll be checking up on them as they go along.
So the production rate for the moment is going to be about two per week, working out to about four per week by the end of the year?
At this point, our goal, and here we are in November, is to deliver 10 of them before the end of the year. And then after that, at the start of the year, it'll be two per week, and gotcha. Then move on up to three per week as quickly and as feasible as possible, but not to put any undue pressure in order to just get ships out, because you know what we want to do is to make certain that they're out there right and that there's no startup issues or anything.
Now, where do you see the worldwide market for this aircraft? Have you gotten a rough idea at this stage of the game of just what kind of life the R-66 is likely to have?
Boy, you know, the interest has been all over. And it's, you know, some of the reasons why we developed it are for those holes that we saw in the marketplace. You know, in one case, it's just because people want to have a five-seater and they want to have a baggage compartment. But in other cases, it's because they needed altitude. And now you've got something that can really, you know, that's why you move into a turbine, because now you can start performing really well up above, you know, 6,000-8,000 feet. The other reason is, you know, now that you've gone from a switch to a piston to a turbine, there are large swaths of the earth where avgas is very difficult to get. Mm-hmm. You start going all through Africa and even places like Europe, where maybe it's more readily available, but it's much more expensive. Mm-hmm. And here in the United States, people are surprised by that. But, you know, I've heard reports that avgas can be twice the price of Jet A. You have areas of Asia and South America where it's very, very difficult to get avgas. So this opens up those market opportunities. There's also the governments around the world that a lot of them have standardized or fixed on the Jet A or on the turbine. They don't want to have a military trainer or a police ship or to do some, you know, government study and then and use a ship that uses avgas when all of their other equipment is Jet A. So it gives us that opportunity also.
When we return, how will the R-66 turbine helicopter help Robinson sell more R-44 piston models? More with ANN's Jim Campbell and Kurt Robinson in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. Jim Campbell is talking with Kurt Robinson of Robinson Helicopters about the new Turbine R-66. Will the 66 cannibalize sales of the Piston R-44? Kurt's analysis is interesting.
Now, one of the things that immediately comes to mind when you see the 66, especially with some of the inroads of 44 made into police and ENG, is that with the amount of power available now, the additional room, and a couple of other aspects, boy, what a market. What an amazing market, especially when you consider what people are having to pay right now to put to field turbine ships in those markets at the moment.
You know, that's kind of an interesting point, because one of the things that I am pretty certain of is that actually once we develop a police version of the R-66, which we plan to do hopefully by mid next year, is that I actually think that it will increase the sales of our R-44 police helicopter. And primarily is because now when I have somebody that comes and looks and they say, well, geez, you know, all you have is a piston engine, the only reason you're telling me to buy that is because you don't have a turbine. But now I have both. Mm-hmm. And actually in a lot of what the police do, especially if they're not at altitude or anything, it is a two-man patrol ship. And you can do that job just as well in an R-44 as you can do in a 66 or any other turbine. So the fact that I'll be able to point to them and say, well, here's the R-66. I can give you everything you want in that. You can have a turbine, but now you're going to be burning 22, 23 gallons an hour versus 15 gallons an hour. Your acquisition price is higher. Does it really make sense for you? And where it doesn't, I think they'll give us another look. But it's not because we're not selling piston now just because that's all we have.
Is there much of a transition from having been a piston helicopter company for so many years to getting into the turbine groove? Have you seen much of a change in your modus operandi at this point?
Certainly no change in our philosophy. It's just a different engine. We're obviously now working with, you know, instead of Lycoming, we're working with Rolls-Royce. And at this point, I can't say enough good things about both companies. They've been very easy to work with, very excited about the product they worked with. They've worked with us to try and achieve what it is we want to do, which is a low-cost, reliable helicopter, and in their case, low-cost, reliable engine. And that's what we're all focused on. Because we're so much an engineering company, I think it makes it easier in some ways to work with these different companies.
Well, the 300, of course, is a new engine for any aircraft. You're the first manufacturer to adopt it, and of course, it's expected it's going to have a pretty bright future. But a new ship with a new engine is kind of a really aggressive profile for any manufacturer to take on. But then again, of course, you're dealing with Rolls, and it's not like they haven't been through this ballgame a few times in the past. How has this experience been?
With Rolls-Royce, they've really just taken the 250 mm-hmm. and they've just modernized it. You know, they simplified it. They've done everything we've asked for, a single-stage compressor. All we needed was 300 horsepower, so we brought all those things back, asked them to simplify it, and then figure out ways so that we could all reduce the cost on it. In terms of that, it's actually been, you know, been no problem at all.
Now, what's next for the 66 from here on out? I know that there's air conditioning plan and eventually ENG police and so forth, but without giving away the farm here, can you talk a little bit about the future progress you hope to make with the 66 program?
Well, the first year or two is going to be doing the derivatives that you just talked about. And plus, you not only do you have a police version, a newscopter version, you're going to be having floats for the tourist market. That's a pretty big area there. You'll have IFR trainer. You'll have, you know, the various avionics and instruments as you'll start to expand the package for it. And a lot of it is just sitting back and listening to the customers. What do they need? There'll be a cargo hook. That's something that's going to be in high demand. Now, obviously, the aircraft can lift a lot and it can carry a lot. So for it to have a really good commercial utility value, it needs to have some equipment on it. Those are the things that we're going to be focusing on first is to help our customers make money with the aircraft.
Tomorrow in part two, will Robinson be able to hold the amazing introductory price point of the R-66? Kurt Robinson is the president of Robinson Helicopter Company. Find out more online at robinsonheli.com. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. That's Aero spelled A-E-R-O. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.